Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Bonnie Kay, and welcome to the Straight Wives Talk Show. This is a hard-hitting show that discusses the complexities of marriage between straight women to gay men. Each week, my co-hostess Misty Hall and I discuss issues that affect over 4 million women in this country and millions more around the world who find themselves unknowingly married to a gay or bisexual man. And if any of you would like to call in this evening, we're always happy to hear your calls or listen to your feedback. I'm going to give you the call-in number. It's area code 646-716-4893. And I will repeat that again for you. It's area code 646-716-4893. And you're perfectly welcome to be totally anonymous when you call into our show. And you can call in from anywhere around the world. Once again, I'll give you the number, 646-716-4893. So, Misty, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing wonderful. I'm trying to stay cool and dry, having crazy, crazy thunderstorms and no electricity in eastern Kentucky right now under this horrific lightning. But I'm doing very well. Other than that, it went off. We lost electricity probably 35 to 40 minutes ago. So I guess we survived.
So what do you do in a case like that?
Well, I'm hoping it's going to come back on really soon, but the way the weather is out there right now, I'm not having my hopes up very high. I mean, it's really bad weather. The lightning is horrible. We've been having temperature way over 100, and that's rare where I'm at in Kentucky right now. We just don't get that kind of weather. It was like that yesterday, like that today, and I think it's going to be pretty much in the 90s, possibly touching 100, you know, this week too. So it's going to be doing this on
and
on.
We are in much better shape than you're in because we're just having low 90s for the week.
Oh,
we've had some very bad storms in the Philadelphia area, and in fact, in South Jersey, people have been without electricity for several days now.
Wow.
And, you know, over 120,000 homes, they said.
Oh, my goodness.
So, I know it's really tough. Some people had, you know, storms on the West Coast last week.
Mm-hmm.
On Florida's West Coast, I meant like in Tampa.
I know, I heard.
Much damage.
I know.
It's never a good time, summer or winter anymore.
I know, always storms brewing. But I'm still here, so if I get cut off, I'll call back in. Hopefully the weather will cooperate with the phone lines.
Hopefully it will. And we want to say good evening to all of our listeners. Thank you for supporting our show. I have a few things that are changing, so I just wanted to mention them. One of them is our support chat, which takes place on AOL. I'm moving to a new chat room because the problem has been that people who are not part of AOL, even though they can sign up for AIM, a lot of them can't get into the support chat, or if they're on a Mac or other kinds of, you know, iPhones or whatever, the AOL chat will not pick them up. So I spend most of my time with the chat time trying to get people into the chat room and missing a lot of the chat and important things that people are saying. So it's really frustrating for me. And, you know, some of the women really desperately need this support, and I thought there has to be another alternative. So I found a chat room. I do have to pay for it, but it's certainly very reasonable. But I'm really excited about it because you can get in from anywhere, anytime, you know, no matter what kind of computer you have. And a lot of women who have not been able to get the support they're looking for will now be able to do it. So that'll be coming up in the next week. So if anybody's been trying to get into our chat and didn't have luck, if you're interested now, this is just the link you put into your computer and boom, it takes you right there. And the other good part, Misty, is that, you know, once you're accepted into the chat room by me, because I have to monitor everybody first to make sure nobody's trying to upset our apple cart. Women can go in there whenever they want and chat. They don't even need to be there. So let's say they need support and they hook up with another woman, they say, let's chat. You know, they can go there, you know, whenever they want.
Wow. That's fabulous.
I'm really excited about that.
Mm-hmm.
And if anybody's interested, just email me at bonk@aol.com. And I don't have to invite you into the chat after I initially get you in the first time as far as giving you the keyword and the, you know, the link to the chat room. Then you can just come whenever you want. So I thought that was great news.
I love that news.
Yeah, I tested it out tonight with a couple of our members, and it really worked great. So that'll really give more people the opportunity to chat. And sometimes, you know, I'm going to open it up to our international women in England and the UK
mm-hmm.
and anywhere else because their hours are so different from ours, but, you know, they could come on anytime they want and see if there's other people there to chat with.
That's wonderful.
I'm really excited about that. And also we talked tonight in our support chat about, now that I have a new support chat room, about starting several, you know, like a chat room for children of, you know, fathers who have, you know, who have gay fathers. Because a lot of times teenagers and young adults really need support for this.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like that will be moving ahead. So hopefully I'll have that enacted within the next month.
That's wonderful.
So that's all good news. And also I'd like to remind people that I'll be having my healing weekend here at the end of September in Philadelphia, September 28th and 29th. Very excited about that. We have a nice group of women who are coming from around the country and who are really looking forward to meeting other women and healing over the weekend. We have a lot of tears, a lot of laughs, but nobody ever walks away from that weekend the same. You know, everybody really walks away feeling so much better.
Mm-hmm.
And live support is definitely so important. So, you know, like I said, that's going to be the last weekend in September. And if you'd like information on that, you can just let me know. So those are some of the things that are coming up in my life and with our group's life. So I had a very interesting letter today that I wanted to discuss with everybody and get, you know, Missy's input on this. And this letter will be in my next newsletter. So I will read it to you for a moment. And then we'll get back to some, you know, talk about it. Just give me one moment. And I'll pull it up. I had a very nice letter from a reader. And this is the letter she wrote to me because I was totally unaware of this organization. So I'm going to ask you if you know about it, Missy. And her name is Kyla. And she said, "Dear Bonnie, I wanted to share this email with you and your organization. Thank you for providing information about what it really means to be married to a gay man and what options are available. You did not offer the suck it up and try harder options. You just laid out the truth at a time were very difficult to read, that at the end of everything were not only correct, but so empowering. I hope that women everywhere who are struggling with this challenge find your site and realize that the options available to them are theirs alone to choose, but there is a community of women who have gone through similar struggles and are available to support them through this crazy, ugly, devastating experience with love and courage." And her name is Kyla, and this is the letter she wrote to this organization that I'll talk to you a little bit about in a moment. It's called Divorce Busters. Have you ever heard of that?
I'm not familiar. It's not ringing a bell.
I looked it up now, and we'll go through it, but this was an organization I never heard of, but this is what she wrote to them. "Dear Divorce Busters, several years ago I found your website an encouragement to work through my marriage difficulties and find a way to make my relationship last. I was your typical wife. I believed in forever, work through your problems, raise our children, and find solutions to problems if they seem too big for my spouse and I to handle. We went to counseling, and our lives as we knew it was unraveling. You see, my husband is gay. He was born that way, but knew it was wrong, and he says he never cheated on me. But since we had not had sex since the birth of our daughter 9 years before, and prior to that very infrequently, STDs were not a concern. I told the counselor I thought my husband was gay, and he point-blank told me I was wrong. So back to fixing and working and feeling lonelier and more empty each day. There were great days and good days and really low days, but I had my marriage. And according to the church and your website and the counselor, it was worth working on." She means, you know, the divorce busters, not mine. "Then we went on a vacation and the family met a friend of his. They held hands and hugged and visited. Then later that night we went swimming and I snapped. He was watching his friend like a man who was in love. He smiled that sweet, I can't believe my luck, smile. He followed the movements of this man and forgot I was even there. I then knew that he was gay. 3 months later, I told him he was gay and that I would be moving out. He assured me that he was straight, and I told him that it was in that case, in 6 months, we would try again. 6 weeks later, he wasn't coming home and told me he had met a man. I'm sharing this with you for two reasons. The first is because I believe in marriage, in the beauty and sanctity of it. I believe that you just don't throw things away when they get difficult, and we work so hard to make it work. However, as I believed in marriage and my husband, my soul were dying and the loneliness was heart-wrenching. Your website never mentioned that this could be something that was going on or what to do. That leads me to the second reason, as you shared the importance of staying strong in a marriage and believing that a couple can work through in anything with kindness and diligence. Sometimes your soul being saved and your gay spouse finding true happiness is more important. When you love someone, truly love them as a husband and a wife should love each other, then you must allow that person genuine happiness. I gained that happiness through heartache and tears. My ex-husband has found a contentment that eluded him for years because he was set free. Please remove me from your divorce busters emailings and go out into the world with kindness. Some marriages just were not meant to be. Thank you, Kyla. And I asked her, you know, if I could publish this in the newsletter, and she said, please do. But wasn't that good?
Wow. It's interesting. That's informative, very informative of all the different, you know, types of support you can find out there. I guess you can find about whatever you're looking for.
I know, and that's why I went to this website, you know, Dustbusters, Divorce Busters. It's like Dustbusters, similar. But anyway, they have, you know, it's like Save My Marriage, you know, that's what it's about.
Mm-hmm.
And get immediate help to stop your divorce and save your marriage. Learn the secrets to saving your marriage by capturing emotional connection again. Start here to begin in saving your relationship today. And, of course, you know, they're selling you the different steps. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's like how to stop your divorce, how to get your spouse to open up, how to fall in love again, how to restore the trust, how to repair the honesty after you've lied, how to save your marriage by yourself. So now you can do it yourself. You don't even need your husband there. How to end the fighting before it starts, how to ignite the passion and romance with a gay man, how to laugh and have fun again, and how to restore the trust after an affair. So that's the book they're selling. It's called 12 Steps to Spontaneous Healing Plan. And it's really interesting because they have some parts in here, like for here, Save My Marriage, to start and begin here. And you know, I was looking about how to repair the honesty or how to restore the trust. And, you know, they're kind of laying it on the woman. I'm trying to see if it's a free article, but I'm looking for this now for the marriage blog. They have a marriage blog. And it says, is your marriage in crisis? Maybe it hit the skids and it's almost been finished off by an affair. Keeping a marriage together takes work. And a marriage in crisis, there isn't a way to not do the work when it comes to saving your marriage. And this blog will help you evaluate whether you're taking advantage of one tactic for saving and building your marriage. Read on. And I thought what was really interesting, they were talking about, you know, like if you have a cheating spouse, you know, how to deal with it. And it says how to end your spouse's affair. Your spouse may not have broken off his or her relationship with the person, or has in some way left the door open to the relationship. As the affair victim, you may feel powerless in this situation. Already knocked off your feet by the affair revelation, you don't know how you'll find the strength to move forward, much less end your spouse's affair. In this blog, here's what I want to do. Show you that you do possess the strength and the best way to get your spouse to quit his or her cheating ways. Read on. So I'm reading on. Let me see what I can find here. Because I've never been really good at that. Let's see, it says, you may have to get through to your spouse who needs to do work to show that he or she is vested in the marriage. If the paramour were to keel over tomorrow, the most important thing in terms of saving your marriage isn't that this person is no longer in the picture, but that your spouse's behavior is leading to the affair have changed. You, meanwhile, are in shock that this has happened. It may feel as if your spouse has all the power right now. They get to decide whether to end the affair or not, stay in the marriage or go, have their needs met before yours. This is not the case. Don't let the blow to your self-esteem allow you to sell yourself short. In fact, if one of your first reactions was anger about the affair, that's probably for the good. You have a healthy sense of what's right and what's wrong, especially when it comes to how your spouse treats you. After the lid was blown off the affair, your spouse may be very confused. After all, getting caught wasn't part of the fantasy, or at least not in a way that makes them have to make a choice between the affair fantasy or some perfect relationship, the paramour, to save the reality, their marriage to you. If your spouse is waffling between trying to keep the affair at least partially alive and trying to resuscitate the marriage, it's up to you to be the one person with the crystal clear vision, and I'll show you how. Getting crystal clear than standing tall. You do have the strength you may have just forgotten. Surely you've been caught off guard, but you're still capable of making decisions about what you want and what you don't want. You may not know whether or not at the moment you wish to save your marriage. However, until your spouse's affair is truly over, let me see where this is. Unless it's truly over, then you can't bring you closer to what you want. So here's this tip number one, make a choice. Can you reasonably continue your relationship with your spouse while he or she simultaneously carries on an affair? Do you think you could do that, Miss Faye?
No. Some people, think they can do that. I don't think I can do that. You know, I've always said there's not enough room in my bedroom for more than me and my partner. You know, it's just two people. That's how I define a couple. You know, everyone defines it however they wish, but that's how I define a couple.
Well, they say some people are capable of doing this, allowing their spouse a little time to extricate themselves from an affair. This is a minority of people by far. Most people simply can't stomach the idea of their spouse with someone else, even when they are so angry with their spouse, there's a part of them that wishes they'd never met them.
Mm-hmm.
Make a choice. If you can't live with the affair continuing, state it to yourself clearly. Okay. Tip number two, draw a line in the sand. Once you are very clear in your mind that you cannot stay with your spouse while the affair continues on, decide where your line in the sand is, or maybe you have to decide if you will suffer it out until your spouse makes a decision. Either way, what do you want? Should your spouse end the affair immediately? Will there be some other timeline you'll allow for him or her to make a decision to stay or go? Get clear on what your non-negotiable point is. Tip number three is to stand firm. Once you have clarity on what it is that you want, state what you want very firmly to your spouse and be clear on your timeline. Calmly, coolly state that it is what it is you want and then stand firm behind what you've said. It is best to state it without judgment or condescension, and here's why. What happens is your way of stating what you want and standing firm influences your spouse to respect where you're coming from. Also, they know they can't pull one over on you or otherwise drag their feet. You cannot change your spouse, but you can influence them to behave better towards you by respecting your wishes. My best to you as you stand firm and get your spouse to end the affair. If you're an affair victim, do you feel your spouse has all the power and strength? Do you feel capable of influencing your spouse to end the affair? Why or why not? So, I mean, they have a lot of stuff on here of things that women need to do to keep their marriages and what they have to be willing to, you know, give up, you know, encouraging women to stay in. You know, they have all these things on how to deal with the infidelity in the other woman, which in our case would be the other man.
Mm-hmm.
But here it says, the mystique of the paramour. As an affair victim, you no doubt have very strong feelings about the person who cheated with your husband or wife. There are many terms you may have for them, the nicest of which may be homewrecker. You find this person repulsive. They knew your spouse was married, and yet, with flagrant disrespect, they went after them anyway. Their actions are vile and disgusting to you. And yet, as you learn how to deal with infidelity and its emotional aftermath, you are haunted by images of your spouse with this person, if you've seen or worse know the person, the images are now linked to and embedded memories in your mind. What can begin to happen if you're not careful is that you build up a story about this person in your mind that doesn't even begin to resemble reality. The details that you don't know about them are what serve as the foundation for a certain mystique that grows up around them in your head. You begin to attribute qualities, yes, qualities to this person they may never have, not even have. For example, you may begin to believe that the paramour is a brilliant conversationalist, holds unsurpassed charm and wit, must be a sexual dynamo, has a charmed life, capable of being desirable 24/7. Even when your words say one thing, that dirty scumbag, all she or he knows is how to destroy someone else's relationship. Probably can't find a decent single person to take interest in them. Your interior dialogue may be similar to those examples above. This inner conflict that may be driving away your spouse and into the arms of another. This is not how to deal with infidelity if it's causing a further rift between you and your spouse. What do you think on that?
Well, it's very interesting. As a marriage and family therapist, it seems very one-sided. I don't see this being approached from it being a couple standpoint, you know, putting the ball in both courts, so to speak, responsibility on both partners. Some marriages are worth saving. I certainly will stand strong with that. However, we're speaking in terms of gay-straight marriages here. You know, I couldn't save mine. I'm talking about, you know, some straight marriages are worth saving, but my marriage, being married to a gay man, was not worth saving, and I would have been devastated if I would have found information that was telling me to try harder or do things or tips and tricks on what to do, because I was already dancing inside the circle crazy. That information would not have suited me well during my time of need.
So here it says that, here I think that, you know, they're like trying to put the blame back on you. It says, are you hurling accusations at your spouse that aren't even based on fact, but rather on the information you've gathered and woven into a storyline? This is especially detrimental. It's one thing to hold your spouse accountable for their decisions to cheat, but are you asking them to defend actions they've never taken, such as running with a paramour, attending a wine festival with them? These signals spell one thing, trouble for your marriage. The reason is you're beginning to lose your identity and getting consumed by fantasies. Even if it is the cold, stark reality, you need to remain faithful to what makes you you. And remember, that's who your spouse married, so your qualities need to be focused on, and here's some tips to do that. First, it says, reroute you into a gathering. If you find yourself at the computer, tempted to look up the paramour's name once again and make yourself look up information about something that interests you, immerse yourself in that for a while and resist the urge to type their name. When you're doing researching things like get up from the computer and go do something else, anything, it keeps you from fueling the paramour mystique fantasy. Redirect your jealousy into productive talk. Let's see if this will work. The next time you feel the urge to question your spouse about the affair's details, make sure, first of all, that you do know that you want to know the details. Second, promise yourself that you won't supply those details based on fantasies and theories that have developed in your imagination. Post-affairs are extremely difficult, and it's challenging to know what's right and what's wrong in your world. When you do choose to have a conversation with your spouse, do so when you aren't feeling overwhelmed with emotional backlash and are in a state of rage. Develop the types of questions to ask your spouse that will help you heal and move forward, not further add to your frustration and pain. After pain, affair pain can feel worse than an operation without anesthesia. It all but consumes you. Just be careful that you don't fuel the flames by trying to compete with a paramour, who can never live up to the fantasy image that you may build up in your mind. They are a flawed person, and worse, possess a deep character flaw to have cheated with a married person. So they are not worth your time or energy. This is one time being selfish works, if it means focusing on yourself so you can heal from an affair. I don't know. I don't think this will work with me.
Probably not me either.
You know, I'll say this, and I know that some women won't agree with this. You know, we hear this all the time, Missy, about how people say that, you know, it's harder, you know, is it harder when a man cheats with a man or cheats with a woman?
Mm-hmm.
And what do you feel about that?
Well, I think it's much more complicated. Some people will disagree with me, and I just had this argument just, you know, a couple of days ago with someone, and that wasn't an argument. We were just challenging both sets of beliefs. It was a very good conversation. But I was having this conversation with someone. When, you know, you're married to someone and they turn out to be gay, you're married to a stranger. You wake up with an absolute stranger when you find out the identity of that person's sexual preference. You know, you don't know who you have been married to, and when someone will lie about or hide the very essence of, you know, who they are, you really are, it's very confusing. And what I like to say is, or compare it to, is just, it can be much more complicated. There's more layers of complication to being married to a gay person. There's just more issues surrounding it. There's more things to work through. I'm not saying at all that a gay straight marriage, a straight marriage in general, isn't complicated or layers of complication can be, you know, depending on the situation. Every situation is unique. But a gay straight marriage generally just has many more layers of complication involved than your regular divorce. That's my opinion.
Well, I agree. I think it has different kinds of complications. But I will say this, and I'm being honest, you know, you may be different than me. I would never be able to survive any relationship, no matter what somebody would be cheating with, male or female.
Absolutely. I agree with you there. Whether it be a female or a male, I mean, to me, the way I define a relationship is that you are loyal to each other, you can trust each other, and when that's broken, you know, some people do a really good job building that back. I've seen it done. Some people don't, and you have to know who you are. Can you build that trust back? You know, if you really, really want to, some people do a good job doing it, but many people are not able to do that. They just don't want to put the time, effort, and attention that it requires into you know, gaining that trust back or trying to build and grow that trust again.
I think that would be my problem. I would
mm-hmm.
always feel that once a person cheated on me, they would do it again. And, you know, I just feel that, you know, I couldn't live with that. I would worry every time he stayed out 10 minutes late.
Right. Your mind wanders.
I mean, I'm not that secure in my life. You know, that
I think once trust
something.
Is broken, I don't care how secure you are, I think once trust is broken and you know someone has had an affair in the relationship, I don't care how secure you are, when someone is 10 minutes late or someone calls unannounced and say, hey, I've got to do this, I'm going to be an hour late, 2 hours late, you're going to revisit all those experiences of when they were late and there was no explanation.
I know, and it's kind of, the other thing is also, even though there are different issues, once again, they're very different, and I think that being married, you know, having somebody cheat with a man is definitely much worse because there's so many other, you know, things that go along with that, and not even just things you mentioned about but who were you living with, you don't even know this person, but in many cases, these guys are just constantly pulling you down because they don't want to be with you because you're a woman, you know, where, you know, men who are straight usually won't go that route. But the point is that I just feel that if a man cheats with a woman, once again, I wouldn't feel any better. And when women say, well, you know, I think I would feel better about that. No, you wouldn't. You wouldn't feel good about that either. I mean, if you love someone, you don't want to have to think about him being in the arms of another woman. I mean, it's
exactly.
That simple. And I don't think I could ever, you know, forgive that.
Exactly.
I'm trying to think if I've been in that situation. But I'm sure I have at some point in life in some relationship with some guy. Oh, yeah, I have been. But the point is that I just don't feel any better about it, and I don't know how you patch that up. But I
right.
guess some people have different goals of what they're looking for in a relationship. For instance,
they do.
I know a woman and her husband's been having an affair for many years, but she's been having an affair for many years. So they're both having affairs, and yet she
mm-hmm.
doesn't want to leave the marriage because
mm-hmm.
she feels it offers her some kind of security, and she really loves her husband, just maybe not enough not to have an affair.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't quite understand this, but it works for them.
Yeah, everyone defines marriage differently. And also in defining a marriage differently, people will also have their own unique sets of rules that they go by. And if it works for them, doesn't mean it'll work for me. But if it works for them, good for them. They know what works for them.
But I think it has to really work, and you have to feel good about it.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
I mean, some people are forgiving. I mean, I'm just not one of them. It's really interesting what I find with women. I don't know if I mentioned it last week, but I will mention it now. I haven't really officially announced it, that my new Man Readers book is out.
Mm.
It's the updated version.
Mm.
That was just released a couple days ago. So I'll be sending out notices and having a website up for it by the end of the week. But in revising it, I changed a lot of things in there. I mean, not changed what I originally had. I changed, you know, some of the stuff that went in there. I added some new stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But it was really interesting to see how many real dysfunctional men there are out there and how women are willing to settle for so little in their lives. But I do believe in most cases when women go into these relationships, you know, people say, well, how could you stay with him? How can you do this? Why are you so stupid? Blah, blah, blah. Well, these guys don't start out like that.
Exactly.
I mean, your husband wasn't like that, was he?
No, I mean, it went pretty foul very fast, but I mean, it didn't start out being foul in the beginning. I mean, of course, he had some good qualities, or I don't think I would have ever went through the marriage. People, when a marriage or a partnership becomes bad, it's usually bit by bit, piece by piece, especially if it's any type of abuse involved, where it just seems so minute, it's hard to take notice of things changing for the worse, or a pattern moving for, you know, a pattern of behavior going in a negative direction, you know, in a direction you don't really want it to go in. It's such a small move, it's hard to notice those subtle changes. It's very subtle changes. And over the course of time, those subtle changes really build up into huge behaviors. And you think,
mm-hmm.
wow, notice this. When did this happen? And you're not going to notice when it happened. You're not going to be able to pinpoint it because, like I like to say, it's going to evolve. You know, it's just subtle and it evolves over time, these behaviors. So it's hard to pinpoint when they happen.
It is hard to pinpoint it, but I think in most cases they don't happen right away.
Exactly.
Well, one of the things I
built up.
I really did write about a lot, of course, the issues of self-esteem in that book, Man Readers, and the different kinds of horrible men there are out there, and all the different men who have all different kinds of, you know, problems with sexual problems, and not just gay. There's plenty of other sexual problems, and I list most of them in that book, whether it's fetishes, whether it's certain behaviors. I mean, a lot of things that are not really very pleasant to talk about, but also the emotional, you know, side of men who just don't have that kind of emotional connection.
Mm-hmm.
I talk about other things like narcissism and emotional manipulation, you know, and how women get so caught up in these relationships. But it just kind of reminds me of, you know, when I think about, there was a movie many years ago, I don't know if you ever saw it, Growing Up Oliver.
I don't recall.
It was a musical. And it was about, it took place in England during the, I don't know, 1700s, 1800s. And this man had a bunch of orphans that used to steal from people.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was based on the life of Oliver Twist.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a really good musical. It has some really excellent songs in it. And one song is by this woman who's, you know, not educated, but she falls in love with this very bad man. And, you know, it goes, whenever he needs me, I know just where I'll be. You know, no matter what he did to her, how he slapped her around, how he made her feel like crap, she always had to be there, you know, for him and to fill her needs. And
mm-hmm.
there are those women who just, you know, never give up. You know, no matter how bad a man is to them, you know, they just hang in there with him. Mm-hmm. And I really do believe there are those women who are attracted to men. And I have friends like this who are not really suitable men. These are men who are bad boys, you know, because they seem more exciting, you know, that they feel like they can in some ways, you know, change them or love mm-hmm. them enough that they won't be bad boys anymore.
Right.
And one of the lines that I have in my book, and I just changed, it'll be changed on my website this week, you know, this is my new mantra. You know, my first mantra was life was never meant to be this complicated, period. I tell women, repeat that every day.
Right.
And my next one is that you cannot fix a broken man, but he can break you. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something that women really have to understand. These guys can't be fixed. You know, you can keep trying and trying, but they don't get repaired. They just keep breaking you down. You know, I just think that women need to know that to put yourself in a situation with a no-win, no-win means that you're going to be the one losing.
Mm-hmm.
And I see that happening a lot with women walking into relationships that, you know, I'm not saying the guys are horrible to start with, but they're so problematic.
Mm-hmm.
They have so many issues. And even if they tell you that they love you, they're still laden with issues from here to the ceiling. And you can't solve those problems. You know, you go in there thinking, I can make it all better for him because we are the nurturers. We are the ones who can fix everything up. We're the fixer-uppers. You know, I say in the book very clearly, there's no coincidence that they're finding us because they know that we're caring, nurturing, loving women. And that's what they're looking for, women who will accept their bad behavior.
Exactly.
And that bad behavior, people don't change. I mean, they can temporarily change, but a leopard certainly does not change his spots. That's the reality of the situation, and I think enough of us have been through enough bad relationships besides our gay husbands to realize that we cannot change men. So knowing that we can't change them, then there's no point getting involved with men where their things are only going to go downhill from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And like you say, it may not appear immediately, because
mm-hmm.
when did the physical abuse in your relationship start? How far into the marriage?
Well, within the first few months, with the, it's less than 6 months, probably I would say 2 to 4 months, within the
mm-hmm.
2 to 4 months range.
Mm-hmm. But you were involved with him for a while before you got married, right?
Yes, almost 2 years.
Right, and you didn't see any sign of that, did you?
No. He got really angry about a couple of weeks before we got married. And I saw a side of his anger that I had never seen before. But, of course, I dismissed it as, you know, as, of course, as I dismissed my own nervous habits during that time. All were both sort of touchy, you know, waiting on the wedding, you know, everyone getting everything ready and things of that nature, which in reality had nothing to do with it.
So you may see little signs, but you don't see the overt abuse, really, until you get into these relationships. In most cases,
mm-hmm.
you know, because it's something that happens over a period of time. You know, they're on their best behavior, I like to call it, when you
mm-hmm.
first meet them. But,
exactly.
You know, that erodes quickly because that's not who they are. They're good pretenders and they're good actors. And that's about as far as it goes. They can only
mm-hmm.
pretend and act for so long.
I agree.
And that's not just with a gay husband, that's with anybody who's, you know, undesirable.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why women have to realize that, you know, if you don't get your life together, stop making bad choices. It's like I have a friend who I love, my closest friend here in Philadelphia, who makes bad choices. And I say to her all the time, you know it yourself. You're looking for guys that you can fix, and you can't end up fixing them because they're not fixable.
Mm-hmm.
But instead, they break you down. They make you miserable. You know, they take advantage of your good nature. They're takers. They're not givers. And you keep thinking that you can turn them into a prince, and it's just never going to happen.
Yeah.
So I told her she should stop dating. Because, you know, if you can't make good decisions, just don't make any.
I have to agree. I'm inclined to agree with that. It's the better decision to make. Don't make any when you're not making sound decisions.
Mm-hmm. So I think that if you can't make the right decision, then your best decision is not to meet anybody.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, once again, that's easier for me to say, but harder for people to do. But you know what? I'll tell you the truth. I wasn't ready for a relationship for a lot of years after my marriage. You know, I just wasn't there. And,
I certainly wasn't.
It took me 11 years till I was ready to, you know, meet anybody again because I was so shattered and battered. And, you know, it just that marriage just took the life out of me. And I just didn't feel, you know, that I was capable of, you know, falling in love again. And, you know, that's the thing I resented most because I was always a romantic type of person who likes to be in love. And I felt after that marriage, you know, I just went totally the other way, just protecting myself until I was ready to open my heart again and meet my new soulmate. But that's why I tell women that if, you know, you're not ready, don't feel like you have to rush into something else. Don't feel like, you know, there's a time limit on healing. Don't feel like you have to get over it. You know, we had this conversation in my chat room tonight where one of the women, you know, who's a wonderful woman, and her sister this week, you know, had the audacity to say to her, well, you know, it takes two to make a wedding, a marriage work, or to make it fail. And she said, no, not in this case. Like, people just don't get it. You know, like, gay's not necessarily the only thing that's wrong in a marriage. Yeah, it is. I mean, it totally turns everybody's personalities and changes them into something they would not normally be. It is the problem in the marriage.
Exactly.
Do you feel that way?
Yes. I mean, you know, people that say it takes two, well, it may take two if you only get in terms of a straight person and a gay person. But, you know, it's it can take one in a marriage when you experience it. Just like you said, it's just not a compatible relationship. When you look at compatibility, you don't have the parts that the gay man is wanting, bottom line. I mean, if you want to look at it very black and white, you just don't have those parts. That's what they desire. There's no passion. There's no romance. You don't have what they desire. And it's very devastating. So, actually, that marriage can be dissolved by one person being gay.
Well, it's not only that, but here's the other issue, which maybe you know, I'll ask your opinion on this. I know that I was not myself in that marriage. So maybe it's true that, you know, I had, you know, developed habits or ways of being that were not that wonderful because of the fact that I was so unhappy, always questioning myself, always feeling that I was doing something wrong. You know, I could never trust my ex-husband. You know, I thought he's out there cheating on me. And I think it really changed who I was. So, you know, I still say it only takes one to, you know, destroy a marriage when you have a gay partner. Please don't misunderstand that. I feel it's very one-sided when it comes to that. And I'm saying that I would have been maybe a totally different person. Maybe I wasn't, you know, the best wife in some ways. Maybe I was overly clingy or hanging on or distrustful, but I had every reason to be.
Right. I agree with that. I mean, I absolutely was. I mean, I tried harder and harder and harder to be that perfect wife. But as you just said, you know, I was. There was times I was clingy. There was times that I would just, you know, completely pull away and withdraw. It was just, you know, I would do it all out of protection. You know, it was just such a fear-based relationship. I had to react to whatever the flavor of fear of the day was. You know.
Mm-hmm.
So it would just depend on what would happen that day. So, you know, it changed me. Absolutely, it changed who I was and how I reacted to things. So I was different as well.
And to change the topic, because I wanted to bring up something else, one of my friends sent me this interesting article this week. Gay man in straight marriage, an ex-gay therapist. And it says, Josh Reed, who recently wrote about being a gay man happily married to a woman, is a counselor offering help for unwanted sexual attractions. And it says that Josh Weed, who bills himself as a gay man in a happy heterosexual marriage, is also a counselor who may practice ex-gay therapy. Weed, a resident of Auburn, Washington, and self-described devout Mormon, recently revealed on his blog that he is gay, but he claims that he and his wife of 10 years, Lolly, have a healthier and robust sex life. He says he is not bisexual, but explains his experience as follows. Sex is more than just visual attraction and lust, and it's about more than just passion and infatuation. Basically, when sex is done right, at its deepest level, it's about intimacy. It's about one human being connecting with another human being they love. Think Progress reports on Weed. On his own bio, he describes helping those with sexual identity issues and unwanted sexual attractions and or behaviors. He denies that he practices so-called reparative therapy designed to change a person's sexual orientation and discredited by mainstream mental health groups. He claims that he encourages clients to accept their sexual orientation, whatever it is, but helps them make decisions about acting on it. Nonetheless, this type of therapy is harmful, Think Progress notes. The harms of ex-gay therapy, as much as the result of denying or refusing to act on one's sexual orientation, as of actually trying to change it. The language of unwanted sexual attractions or behaviors is uniquely used by those who advocate ex-gay therapy, as it implies that a person's sexual orientation is somehow separate from the core of their identity and can be treated as such with behavioral adjustments. Truth Wins Out, an organization that works to expose practitioners of ex-gay therapy, go further, calling Weed a total fraud. These ex-gay types will do and say anything to deceive suckers into imbibing their lies, Truth writes out Wayne Benson in a blog post. And I love Wayne. I mean, he's my favorite activist in that whole community. I mean, he's just amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I've had the pleasure of working with him over the years. And, you know, he really fights to expose people in this Truth Wins Out group that he runs. But do you think it's possible for someone to be gay and be happy in a heterosexual marriage?
Wow. I'm going to give my general response. I think anything is possible, but I'm going to go back to my relationship. There's no way that would have worked in my relationship. Neither one of us were happy. The anger had escalated on his behalf. The abuse had escalated. I later found out afterwards that the worst that his going out had increased significantly. And it was a bad time. It really was. It wasn't salvageable. It wasn't anything I wanted to salvage. You know, there was a time I wanted to salvage it.
Mm-hmm.
It was broken. The best word I can describe it. It was broken from what I would say the get-go. It was broken from the moment we both said I do. It was broken. And I think when you start introducing things like reparative therapy, changing who people are born as, you know, the stance we on this show, there's damage, you know, more damage can be done. It's a very delicate topic, any way you look at it, because so many different factors play into it. You have the religion, you have culture. There's so many different factors play into someone being gay. So it's not going to settle down anytime soon, I don't think. I think it's always there's some type of controversy. You're going to have people opposing it. You're going to have people say they're born that way. You're going to have some people saying, well, it's a choice. They can change. This alarm behavior. So it's just, I don't think we'll ever run out of topics, Bonnie. We'll never run out of topics.
But I think that, you know, one thing that has changed, Misty, in the last few years is that people now, you know, even from the right-wing Christian whatever, you know, they acknowledge that people are born that way. So, I mean, that I think has changed a lot. Because before they used to call it a sexual preference. Now they admit people are born that way. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean they have to live that way.
Right.
You know, that's supposed to be God's test to gay people. That, okay, you were born gay, but now you have to act straight for the rest of your life.
Right.
So, I mean, they've made very slow progress over the last 2,000 years.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, they're not going at a very fast rate. But I just think it screws up people's heads so much when they read articles like this, either one of them, from the divorce busters or from this one, that, you know, you have to hang on to these marriages and work so hard to try to make something work that can never work. And why are you doing it? I mean, life was never supposed to be this complicated. I mean, you're supposed to go into a marriage feeling good about yourself, good of heart. And in fact, one of our dear friends, you know, that we have in Florida, I won't mention her name, but, you know, we both know her. She's young and beautiful and wonderful. And, you know, she was struggling for, you know, a number of years in her marriage. You're always feeling guilty. Am I doing the right thing? You know, the church, the church, the church. And I got today the most beautiful pictures of her and her boyfriend looking so wonderfully happy after, you know, they're together a year now. And she told me, you know, how much she thanks me because, you know, she just couldn't believe it at the time how happy she could be. And, you know, everything I told her, you know, did come true. And that's my whole point. You know, you're meant to be happy in life. Nobody says that you have to be the suffering servant and you need to stop being one. You need to pull your life together and say, you know what, I deserve better than this. You know, I made a mistake. I have to change it now. And that's what I tell women. You can walk into a mistake. I mean, we all do. I think that's very normal. Not everybody finds their perfect soulmate first time they, you know, meet somebody.
Absolutely.
But if you make a mistake, then you learn to change it and fix it.
Mm-hmm.
You just don't stay living in it.
Exactly.
And that's what upsets me, that so many women just settle for so little.
Mm-hmm.
Or nothing, or less than nothing, and then they waste their whole lives sitting on antidepressants, you know, for being in a situation that they're staying in that they shouldn't be in to start with. I don't get it.
I know. It can be very sad.
But hopefully in time things will change and people's attitudes will change. And hopefully, you know, like I say, we'll see a change in the way people think. I don't think they're going to, you know, I think the real key lies within women, not even society or anything else. That women have to accept the fact that, you know, they deserve more in life. They don't have to settle ever. And if
exactly.
something doesn't feel right, then it's not right. And if you don't want to do something, then don't do it. Don't compromise your values. You know, going back to, like, my book, Man Readers, A Woman's Guide to Dysfunctional Men, you know, I have stories in there from women who did sexual things. They had no... They didn't want to do it, but they were desperate to hang on to their marriages, and they wanted to make their husbands happy. So they compromised their own values, and they compromised what they believed in, and they could still never make their husbands happy because there's never enough, you know, no matter what they want. It's never going to be enough.
Mm-hmm.
You're never going to change who they are.
Right.
So you can get yourself into all kinds of roles and game playing and having partners and switching, you know, partners and threesomes and foursomes. It's not going to change who your husband is. He's not going to love you any more or any better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what he wants. And if it's not what you want, then you have to say, this is not for me. You know, it's like they always say, Misty, you know, like they always say, well, people, who would want to be an executioner, right?
Right.
You know, they say, because I say for some of these heinous crimes, like people, you know, just have to be killed. You know, when it comes to destroying a child, destroying a woman, you know, and just pull the lever and, you know, kill them. They said, well, it's going to be hard to find somebody to do all that. I said, I'll be very happy to be the person to do it. I don't have any remorse at all. You know, I would like that job, actually. I'd be very happy to do it. And I say the same thing.
We need to find you an application.
I know. I need a job like that.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is that I tell women that it's the same thing, that if you need permission to leave your marriage and you don't know where to find it, get in touch with me because I'm going to be the first one to tell you, get out.
Absolutely.
You need to leave. If you need permission, call me. I'll give you the permission. I give every woman the permission to be happy. And, you know, you can sit and spend years in these worthless marriages just wasting your own life away. I mean, I had a woman come to me the other day, and I felt so bad for her. You know, she's a lovely woman. She's in her 40s, married for 20 years. And she told me that, you know, her whole life has been devoted to keeping everybody happy, keeping all the pieces together, taking everybody where they need to go, doing what everybody needs. And she just feels so used up. And, you know, I think that's a really sad commentary on how many women live, just living their lives to make everybody else happy but themselves.
Exactly.
So, you know, I think that, you know, it's a long journey, look, it took me years to build up my self-esteem.
Mm-hmm.
Years. And, you know, thankfully I met a wonderful man who made me feel that special, that it's easy for me to feel good about myself, regardless of the fact that I'm, you know, 80 or 100 pounds overweight. I still feel like, you know, I'm beautiful when I'm with him. And that's because he's made me feel that way, and that's the kind of man that women need. They need to find a man who can love them for what they are and not sit and think about what they're not. Otherwise, you don't need to be in that relationship and figuring out how you're going to get past the infidelity. You know, the guy has to sit and cheat on you, and you have to wonder, should you tell him to stop now or wait it out? There's something wrong with that thinking, I think.
I
think you've got to tell him that, you know, it has to end now. And you shouldn't have to feel so little about yourself that you have to even think about that. But then I would say leave him anyway. I just feel that once a guy cheats on you, that's going to be it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. You see marriages where there's cheating, where things end up being okay? I only know one that I saw.
I have seen marriages that have repaired it, and they seem to go move along and rebuild their trust and live happy lives. I have seen it happen. You know, my hat is off to those people. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of hard work and dedication. I've seen it happen. I've seen it.
You want to preface that by saying that's not straight gay couples, though.
Exactly. That's among straight couples. It's rare that you see it happen. Oftentimes they'll try to pull back together, and you'll see honeymoon phases in straight couples as well, and they'll fall apart again. So your trust is a very, 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 very important need in a relationship. Once it's broken, it takes very little to break it. Once it's broken, it's damaged for a long time. It could be damaged permanently. So, you know, it's just a very important component of that relationship, trust.
Mm-hmm. That's why I say there's a lot of important components to relationship, but if you're not getting what you need out of it, you can say goodbye.
Mm-hmm.
Find a new one. I mean, you know, I always say new relationships are a dime a dozen.
Mm-hmm.
Staying in a bad one is ridiculous. I mean, you can always find a relationship. You want someone that you can trust and someone that you can count on.
Mm-hmm.
And not count on to be in somebody else's bed when you're with them. But the same thing goes, like I said, we just want to both of us emphasize that even though Misty says she's seen some marriages repair, I've only seen one. But the point is that regardless, those marriages were with straight couples. They weren't with a straight gay partner. There's
right.
No chance in those situations that it can ever work because the man is gay. He cannot treat you like a woman when he's a gay man. I mean, he can love you like a sister. He can love you like his mother, but he can't love you like a husband because he can't be one. He can, you know, a lot of these men think that it's not about the sex. You know, it's just like I'm bringing home money. I'm doing the shopping. I'm fixing stuff in the house. That makes me a husband. That's not what makes a husband. Would you say that, Misty?
It takes a lot more than that to make a husband. I mean, absolutely, it takes more than that. You know, it's all those little things that come together into
mm-hmm.
a relationship. You know, the way, you know, you look at someone across the room and you still get butterflies for that person, and you know that they love you in a way that they desire you, they have passion for you, because sex is a very important part of our relationship. Because we often hear, if we talk to people, that sex isn't an important part of relationship in a gay, straight marriage. Well, it is. It's very important. And oftentimes that's downplayed. It's still important. You know, we are sexual beings. It's an important part of our lives.
Exactly. Never let a man talk you into the fact that it's not important. Because if he's trying to tell you that, there's something wrong with him.
It's part of a healthy relationship. So
right.
There's so many things involved in a healthy, good relationship. So many things. So many things. Not just bringing home money and being, you know, tied to someone legally and sharing children. There's so many more things that plays into a good relationship.
Mm-hmm. Well, Misty, our hour is over, so we're going to be ending our show tonight. And first of all, I want to wish all of you who are listening in the United States a very happy 4th of July. Please make sure it's safe.
Mm-hmm.
Try not to go near anything that are dangerous. And no matter where you are, no matter where you're listening from, just know that we're only, you know, a click away. You can always write to me, or I can forward it on to Misty. And, you know, we're here to give you the support you need. If you're not getting my newsletters, write me a note if you'd like to get them at bonk@aol.com. And if you're interested in joining up with the support chat, just drop me a note and we'll get you situated with that. So, Misty, another wonderful week has passed by and we survived it, right?
We have. Still without electricity. I'm still hoping for it to come on, but I'll say my goodbyes and love to all.
All right. Love to all of you, too. And we'll talk to you next week. Have a great week. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye.